In his campaign for U.S. Senate, former Governor Mike Rounds says he wants to bring South Dakota common sense to Washington, D.C. Rounds served as governor from 2003 to 2011 after a decade in the state Senate. He's one of five Republicans running to replace retiring Democratic Senator Tim Johnson. The primary is coming up on June 3rd. Mike Rounds joins us from our studios at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. And Mike Rounds, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Carl, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today.
Well, I'll start with the same basic questions. I've asked the other candidates that have come on the program. Why are you running for U.S. Senate?
I've got four kids and six grandkids. I don't want to see them have to pay off a $17.4 trillion debt or to be harnessed with literally trying to pay just the interest on it even. And at the same time, you know, I remember back, I think where I really kind of got the fire back in my belly was during the core flood of 2011, I watched as men and women up and down the Missouri River here in the Pier area, the Fort Pier area, down in Yankton in that area, local officials worked 24 hours a day just trying to save their communities. And I watched as local core officials worked side by side with them. I watched as contractors did everything they could to stay above the rising waters. And then I saw bureaucrats coming in from literally out of state whose job it seemed to be was to dot I's and cross T's. They weren't looking at the human element involved. They were looking at it trying to find out whether or not they were going to pay for it because the angles on the berms weren't right, or they didn't have the right kind of a slope along up to the top, or the top wasn't wide enough. And they did everything they could, in my opinion, literally to make life miserable for these folks that were just trying to save their communities. And all I kept thinking about was his government at the local level was the best, and that the federal government with its bureaucracies was way too far removed from the rest of normal people in the United States and in South Dakota in particular. And I think that on top of the fact that I remember having a meeting in the White House with the president, the vice president, Secretary Sebelius, Cindy Mann from CMS in about June of 2009. On behalf of the National Governors Association. And there were a group of governors that had come in to express our concern with what the president was planning on doing. His health care plan, which at that point hadn't been identified, but it looked like it became Obamacare. And we were sharing with them our concern about what the state's expenses would be on, and the fact that we couldn't pay the bill and we didn't think they could. And I just remember after that discussion that it became very apparent that Medicare is where the money was coming from. And I remember thinking about my dad, because healthcare had been so great in our state and in our nation, and he'd been through a lot, and he was still with us, and I could see the dollar starting to flow away, and I could see that the emphasis in the future was going to be on not so much family and doctors and patients making a decision, but on federal bureaucrats. And in fact, at that point, they were talking about an independent payment advisory board that would decide which Medicare recipients would get which procedures just based upon how much they would pay for the procedures in the future. And they were supposed to be limiting the costs associated with Medicare. And now today we're finding out that Medicare is literally being raided. And in fact, between the year 2012 and the year 2021, Obamacare will siphon off or raid, or some people will say steal, over $732 billion out of the Medicare Trust Fund and use it to fund Obamacare. And so I think when I just remember that I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks after having had that meeting. And I could see that healthcare was going in the wrong direction at the federal level. And I knew we had to do everything we could at that time to stop it. And that's one of the reasons why I was so supportive of Marty Jackley when he decided to sue the federal government. And we were with 25 other states. And we were successful in part because they told us we didn't have to spend Medicaid dollars at the state level, but we didn't win the whole battle. We're still working on it. So that really is what got the fire back in my belly as I watched the federal government literally walking away from the traditional types of healthcare delivery systems that had been so successful in the United States, and particularly here in South Dakota.
In talking about the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, what do you see are better alternatives to what is happening with that act?
Obamacare is based on the federal government promising people things that they can't deliver, and they don't have the money to do it. That's the reason why they're taking money out of the Medicare Trust Fund. We have to go back to a market-based product, one in which you can allow companies to compete side by side for the dollar bills in our healthcare industry. competition is what's made this country get great, and competition is what continued over literally a year after year after year to make our healthcare systems one of the best in the world. I mean, the technologies that we've got have come a long, long way, and people are living longer. Look at the fights that we've had and how we're starting to literally get a hold of things in cancer. My mom died from cancer back in 1987, and if mom were alive today and she had the same kind of a cancer, today they could cure it. And that's what I want for the next generation. I want us to continue to develop new ways of approaching healthcare. And I think Obamacare goes exactly the wrong way. It makes promises that it can't keep. And the only way that they're going to find any way at all in which the long term to make Obamacare work is to literally start restricting who gets which types of services. And I don't think the president wants to talk about that, but that's the direction they're going to have to go. And that's what the Independent Payment Advisory Board is designed to do, is just to slow down the payments coming out of Medicare to seniors. And the way they do it is they literally just won't pay for certain procedures on certain people, and they're going to make those recommendations through the Independent Payment Advisory Board, and that's found within Obamacare. The way that I think it should go is more competition. We should let companies compete. We should have a fair playing field, number one. Do what we did in South Dakota, portability, where you could move from one plan to the next plan without evidence of insurability. We should make sure that every single health plan delivered in the United States should be guaranteed renewable, where they can't stop it. That's what we did in South Dakota. There should be a ratio between the least amount of money you can charge a person and the most amount of money you can charge a person in the same health care plan, so that you don't try to drive the price up on somebody who's sick, and you try to bring in healthy people and charge them less money in terms of cherry-picking them from other plans. Those are the types of things that we did, and we had 93% of our people with a plan for their own health care before Obamacare became effective. We had 17 different companies competing in South Dakota for the health care dollar. We had 13 different companies competing for the individual health care dollars. So you have to manage it. You've got to have a fair playing field. But if you don't have a way to pay the bill, you shouldn't be making promises to people that the federal government's going to be the end-all, and that the government's going to make the decisions about who gets care and who doesn't get care. That's wrong. That decision should be made between the patient and the doctor and their family. And we're going in the wrong direction at the federal level.
Earlier, you were talking about the debt situation. What are your thoughts on how Congress can help work with that problem?
You have to open up the United States economy. And the only way you can open up the United States economy is by getting the federal bureaucrats off businessmen's backs. You know, we've got the EPA out there right now chasing farmers around, and they're talking about regulating dust. You've got businessmen out here right now, no matter where you go in South Dakota and you ask them, you know, what the biggest competition is for them making a dollar bill and having profit in their pocket or hiring more people, they will tell you it might be Obamacare, because the cost of health care under Obamacare for the businessman is more than he can afford to pay. They'll tell you that the bureaucracy at the federal government is the biggest enemy they've got. It's not somebody from another country. It's not the weather, and it's not the businessman down the street. It's literally their own federal government. I remember when I first came back into the business world after working as a governor for 8 years, I come back into our agency, and I sit right down at the desk, and the first thing I've got is a five-page form from the Census Bureau saying, you have to fill this out about every location you've got. Well, we had five locations in South Dakota. So they wanted five of those. And then they wanted every one of our employees listed on there along with their salary. They wanted to know what they did and how much time they took doing research. And I said, well, this will be easy. I'll just mark, we don't do research. We're an insurance agency. We provide service to people that need it for property and casualty insurance. And look down, there's no place to do that. Even though you didn't do any research, they required you to fill out the whole doggone form. We had one lady sit down, and it took her a whole day to fill out one form that had nothing to do with trying to make insurance sales and servicing people's needs when they have, you know, fires and windstorms and so forth. But nonetheless, the federal bureaucrat knew better, and they were going to have us fill it out. And that kind of malarkey has got to get stopped. And that's really what this is all about, is allowing the economy to start to grow again, get the federal bureaucracy off of our backs. And then take a hard look at a tax system right now that doesn't encourage growth. Let's lower the tax rates. Let's broaden the base. Let's invite folks that have got their businesses out of the country to come back into our country. And then let's take a look at really what the problem is, which is a spending problem. We've got more people all the time that literally need entitlements because there aren't jobs out there for them. You know, in South Dakota, we've got about a 3.5% unemployment, but the rest of the country is really suffering yet. The more people you put back to work, the less people you have that need help at the federal level. You take more people off of welfare. You take more people off of food stamps. But the only way you can do it is if you grow the economy and then you slow down that federal expenditure and you have to eliminate Obamacare, because the drain of Obamacare on the Medicare Trust Fund will break it. In fact, the trustees have told us that Medicare will be broke in the year 2026. They put out a report every year. Their most recent report confirms for the second year in a row, Medicare will be broke in the year 2026. And you know what? That's money that's been put in by people that have been working hard and putting a report on their W-2 every single year about how much money they paid into Medicare. And now the federal government, through Obamacare, is sucking it dry. And that's got to get stopped. So no matter what you want to do, you have to eliminate Obamacare and replace it with a logical plan that promotes economic growth.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with former Governor Mike Rounds, who's one of five Republican candidates seeking to replace retiring Democratic Senator Tim Johnson. The primary is coming up on June 3rd. There's been some discussion among the other Republicans running for Senate over who is the most conservative. For you, Mike Rounds, where do you think you fall within the Republican Party?
You know, I've always told people that if you have to claim to be it, you're probably not it. What I like to do is I like to rely on my record. And you know, in South Dakota, it means using some good old common sense. It means, you know, like every governor before me and Denny Dugard after me, Governor Dugard after me, you balance your budget every single year. You live within your means. You use all the resources necessary, and you do what's right for the people of South Dakota. And you stay tuned in on what the issues are, and you try to follow a basic concept that says if you don't have the money, you don't spend it. At the federal level, they don't know that. And at the federal level, they continue to spend money, and they don't even pass a budget. They've passed one budget in the last 5 years. And, you know, enough of that. Let's get back to the regular order of business. Let's take Washington, D.C. and literally start using a little bit of South Dakota common sense in D.C. Here's what I'm suggesting. Number one, let's pass what we call the RAINS Act. Senator Rand actually is the one that's sponsoring it in the Senate. It's already passed the House. What it says is that we're going to control the federal bureaucracy. We're going to stop the rulemaking process on this by saying that any bill that comes through, that or any rulemaking proposal that comes through from the federal bureaucrats has to be approved by the House and the Senate, and that and if it impacts the economy by $100 million or more, it would be about 100 more votes per year in the Senate. So it would double their workload, heaven forbid. But in doing so, you could stop the EPA from monitoring and from regulating dust. You could stop them from going after the carbon dioxide issues that they're chasing around right now in Washington, D.C. and trying to measure how much carbon dioxide comes from livestock, and humans are going to be next. But you can start literally having somebody responsible for those rules. That's where it ought to be, is at the congressional level. So from my perspective, let's take a look at using South Dakota common sense, bringing some of those guidelines in, and let's pass the RAINS Act. Let's get our federal spending under control. Let's do it by regular order of business, where we pass a budget every single year. Let's slow down the spending spree that we're on. It doesn't mean you have to hurt people. It doesn't mean that you have to take away services that people are expecting. But you have to slow down the expenditures. The other thing that I keep telling people is you know, just managing the budget itself. We've got folks that are eligible who are over the age of 65, that live in a nursing home, and that have a disability and are low income. These folks are the poorest of the poor. They're the folks that need the help the most. They're called the dual eligibles. They're eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. Did you know that nobody manages their health care for them? Nobody helps them through the process? And in doing so, they're about 7% of the population. We spend 50% of all of our Medicaid dollars on that group of people, and nobody manages it. So why don't we coordinate the benefits between Medicare and Medicaid? Because the federal government doesn't want the state to manage Medicare. And the states most certainly don't trust the federal government to manage their portion of Medicaid. So we have to address that. Quite frankly, I think the states ought to take more of a role in it, and I think we would save money and we'd provide much better health care for those folks that truly need it the most.
One of the issues that's come up over the past few months from your time as governor is the EB-5 visa investment program, which allows investors to gain residency. Is the EB-5 program something you still support, or do you think that there should be some changes?
Well, anytime you can improve a program, you should improve a program. It's a federal program. There's over 500 different offices around the United States that utilize it. In South Dakota, it's been good for South Dakota. We've had literally hundreds of millions of dollars in investments in very good projects around the entire state. I'll give you some examples. We've had multiple dairies that have had the investment come in, and that you know, we've got some of the best dairy land in the United States. We just didn't have the capital, the private capital to go into them. We've got two new electrical generating facilities in South Dakota that were funded with investments from foreign investors who could get a green card if they qualified and if Homeland Security said that they were not a security risk. That allows them to come into the United States. It does not give them citizenship. So from my perspective, looking at it, it was a great way in which to get capital investment during a very difficult time in our nation's history, the second worst recession, or the worst recession since the Great Depression. We used it to fund the turkey processing plant at Huron, which has been a real boom for the Huron area and a great way to process over 5 million turkeys that are grown in South Dakota rather than sending them out of state. The entertainment facility at Lee Deadwood was funded using EB-5 funds, a good program. So, you know, did we have a tough time with Northern Beef? Yeah, we did. The private investors that were in it, they ran out of money. But in doing so, they have built a state-of-the-art beef processing facility at Aberdeen. It's not going to go away. It will be operational. I know there's some folks out there that said that the state of South Dakota lost money on it. According to the Economic Development Office, in testimony before the legislative body this year, after three separate audits, South Dakota taxpayers didn't lose any money on it. In fact, the taxes being paid back in and continue to be paid back in not only have paid because of construction costs on it, have met that and have recouped any losses, but from this point forward, Brown County and those folks up there are getting property taxes on that huge facility from this point forward. So, you know, overall, yeah, tough edges there on it, you bet. Do we wish it was operational right now? You bet we do. Why? Because we need another facility in which to process beef in South Dakota. As the Corn Belt moves north and it moves west, those private investors that came up with that idea and that wanted Northern Beef to be successful, they have a great business plan. They just ran out of money in order to buy livestock. And in doing so, what we do in the United States is you start over and someone else tries it and the next owners will operate it. And hopefully they'll be buying beef from our local farmers and ranchers from a huge area, not only in South Dakota, but in North Dakota as well.
Moving to the recent Supreme Court ruling, the McCutcheon ruling overturning caps and limits on individual campaign contributions, do you think that there should be any legislative response to that?
I'm in favor of disclosure. I think the disclosure is the biggest thing we can do so that people can see who's actually investing their dollars in the different campaigns. Then, you know, the American people in South Dakota, they're not dumb. They get it. They can look and see if you give good disclosure on who's contributing to the different campaigns. They get to understand exactly who thinks that candidate is in line with their line of thought. You know, there's this thought out there that somehow people, when they invest in a campaign, that they're doing it for inappropriate reasons. I found after literally working as a governor for 8 years, folks that just support you, they're in it because they believe in the same things that you do. Well, if you really want to find out where a candidate's at and what they believe in, find out who's supporting them. And that disclosure thing is very important. You know, if you look at Washington right now, the bigger problem for me, I don't think it's who's supporting people in Washington, D.C. I think it's the fact that those folks just simply won't put together a team of Republicans in the Senate where they can actually fix the problems that our country's facing. You know, Harry Reid has, you know, with all due respect to Mr. Reid, he has basically stopped the Senate from operating the way that it's traditionally operated. They're not debating issues. They're not coming up with ideas. They're not putting out a budget on a regular basis. Why? Because he doesn't want the folks that support him in the Democrat Party, he does not want them to have to put themselves on the vote on the line. Well, in the United States Senate, they should be not only discussing those items, they should be making their deals, and they should be proposing things that make things better for America, not just for their own party. And that is not what is happening in Washington, D.C. today. It's become 24-hour news, and they're scared to death that if they take a vote on something, they're going to be held accountable for the vote. And they don't want to have to go out and explain their votes. So they're not voting on things. That to me, is the biggest issue we've got out there right now. You've got an executive branch which is out of control. You need to pass the RAINS Act, as Senator Rand Paul has suggested. It's already passed the House. Get the bureaucracy under control. Get them off the backs of businessmen and women, and get them out of our private lives. And then step back into this thing and start helping to grow the economy. Reform the tax code. Make some things better than what they are up there, and then be able to defend what you're doing. And I think that's the focus that Congress has got to be in the next couple of years. We have to slow down the federal government from continuing to grow.
Some of these things that you've talked about, like the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, I mean, that's already law, the tax rates, those sorts of things. Are these things that you can actually deal with, or these issues that have already moved on and it's time to work on other things?
Well, actually, I think the key to fixing the programs long term, you have to eliminate Obamacare in its current form. And you have to replace it with a common sense approach to health care, that recognizing that the private market has been good for health care, where doctors literally talk directly to their patients, and where patients can go on out and look and say, look, if I don't like my health care, I'm going to move. I'm going to change it to a different one. And where I can go and I can shop and I can find different plans, rather than a one-size-fits-all, which is what Obamacare seems to promote. I mean, if you've got a husband and a wife and they're in their 60s, they may not want to carry pregnancy coverages on their plan. But you ought to be able to go on out and pick and choose and find the coverages that you want for your situation. And different types of plans will be acceptable. And let the marketplace decide which ones are successful and which ones aren't. The American public is not stupid. They are smart. They make good choices. You know, Obamacare is basically in the process of eliminating HSAs, the health savings accounts, which a lot of people really liked because they could put money aside on a tax-deductible basis. And then they go out and they shop for the best prescription drug prices they've got. They go out and they shop for the types of health care that they want and so forth. That was really, for me, the wave of the future. And Obamacare really kind of shut that down. So, just in focusing on that, I think, is still fair game, and it has to be fixed. You have to have a fair playing field, but you have to take Obamacare, and you're going to have to eliminate it.
Well, we're out of time here, but Mike Rounds, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to stop by our studios in Rapid City and talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That's former South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds. He's one of five Republicans seeking to replace retiring Democratic Senator Tim Johnson. The primary is coming up on June 3rd, and we're inviting all the Senate candidates on Dakota Midday. To hear past interviews, you can visit sdpb.org.